Preparing for Marriage, Talk 2. Last time we saw that God made everything and everyone, which means he's in charge. We also saw that God is in the business of relationships. He made men and women for a relationship both with himself and each other. Marriage involves one man and one woman leaving their homes and being joined together for life, becoming one flesh. The phrase one flesh describes the closest possible relationship for two human beings to have, and it's expressed in sexual union. And that is why divorce is so painful, because two people who have become one are ripped apart. They're like two pieces of paper that have been glued together and then pulled apart a week later. Both are damaged. Ian and Kelly were married in August. By March, one of them was seeing someone else. By the following July, they were no longer living together, and shortly after their first wedding anniversary, Ian discovered that Kelly was living with someone else. Imagine for a moment how you would feel if you were in Ian's shoes and your future husband or wife suddenly turned their back on you and was unfaithful to you. It would be terrible. A friend of mine was physically sick for days when her husband of 2.5 years confessed to having not one but several adulterous relationships. They were so in love only 24 months earlier, but now they were so far apart. When God finished making the world, we're told that he saw that it was good. Clearly the world is far from good now, so what on earth has gone wrong? I'm going to read Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, and Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 6, which you can find in the study guide. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say, 'You must not eat from any tree in the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, 'You must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.'" "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Creation was completely good, but Genesis 3 tells us that it didn't stay that way for very long. And the essence of what went wrong was a relationship breakdown. You see, the man and the woman did exactly what God said they should not do. They thought they knew better than God. They actually tried to be God by deciding for themselves what was right and what was wrong. Basically, they wanted to be in charge in God's world. But remember from last time that God is the creator who is really in charge, so it's not surprising that he won't put up with that kind of carry-on. The end of Genesis 3 tells us that God kicked them out of the garden. They had turned their backs on him, and so now their relationship with him is broken. In addition, as a direct result of a broken relationship with God, their own relationship has for the first time become strained and causes the husband and wife to have the first ever domestic. Well now, what has that got to do with us? Well, the Bible tells us that turning our backs on God is what is wrong with us too. And as with the first man and woman, it leads to our own relationships being messed up, including our marriages. I'm going to read Romans chapter 3, verses 10 to 12, which you can find in the study guide. "As it is written, 'There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one.' The word righteous simply means right with God, and Romans 3 tells us that no one is right with God. There is no one righteous, not even one. It goes on to tell us that no one seeks God, and that all have turned away from him. God made us. He loves us. He's in charge of us. But we have done the most damaging thing imaginable in a relationship. We have turned our backs on him and walked out. And then we carry on living our lives as if he isn't there, flirting with other gods. That is, we make something or someone else the focus for our lives. The Bible word for this is sin. It simply means turning our backs on the God who made us and who is really in charge. It's as if we say to God, I know better than you. Leave me alone. I'm not interested in you. I want to live my life my way. It's a terrible way to treat God. Living in his world, enjoying what he has made, and ignoring him. I wonder if you can see how this affects us. For the first husband and wife back in Genesis, a good relationship with each other actually depended on a good and right relationship with God. They didn't fight until they turned their backs on God. In the same way, our own inclination to live my way and ignore God will have a huge impact on marriage. We put ourselves first, which at some point, probably sooner rather than later, will create tension and division between you as you seek to get your own way. And the things you wrote down at the beginning may help you to see where that tension may come for you. The reason for all those things is that we are all sinful. People usually think they're okay, quite good really, compared to most. But the Bible says that none of us is good. We've all ignored God. Have a look again at verse 10. There is no one righteous, not even one. Verse 11. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. And verse 12. All have turned away. It's a pretty grim picture of human beings. I wonder if you've ever considered yourself as someone who has turned your back on God. The way we do that is seen in different ways and in varying degrees. Greed, theft, hatred, murder, rape, immorality, lying, cheating, gossip, envy, dishonesty, and plenty more besides. Of course, some people look better than others, but the Bible insists that inside, we are all self-serving rebels against God. Well, so what? Well, for a start, our world is messed up because we ignore God. You only have to take a brief look at the TV news on any day of the week to see what our world and communities are like. Selfishness, vandalism, fraud, people starving, war crimes, murder. The list could go on. Marriage is a major casualty. People jack it in when it gets tough. And Britney Spears infamously jacked it in within 24 hours before it had a chance to get tough. These are all hallmarks of a world full of people who have turned their backs on the God who made them. I wonder what you would do if you were God and the people you had made ignored you and lived as if they were in charge. I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Found in the study guide. Man is destined to die once, and after that, to face judgment. That verse tells us exactly what God is going to do. One day, God will judge everyone. How do you think you'd fare if you met God today, and he judged you? We may not like the idea that God will judge us, but judgment is part of our society. And we all want justice, which is why there is a public outcry when criminals seem to get off lightly. Even young children want justice. They often cry, it's not fair. Justice is ingrained in us all. We want justice. But we can't afford justice, because as far as God is concerned, we are all guilty of ignoring him. So when you and I meet God, and he wants to bring justice to bear, we are in big trouble. We are guilty. We deserve to be punished. The Bible explains that the punishment for ignoring God is being cut off from him forever, otherwise called hell. In this, God is being perfectly fair, and he's letting us have our own way. We choose to live without him in life, so he will let us live in eternity without him, and without all the good things that he's made for us to enjoy. Fun, food, family, friendship, football, jam, donuts, whatever. Although you might not think it now, the fact that God judges shows that he cares about us. If he didn't care, he wouldn't do anything. And people could do just as they please, murder, rape, steal, and all the rest of it, without any fear of judgment. God's love for us means that justice must be done. But we've got to remember that we are all guilty too. Thankfully, that's not the end. There is some really good news to come back for next time. I hope you will. Today has been the bad news about our relationship with God and the bad news for marriage. But it's always good to know the bad news, because then something can be done about it. Next time we'll find out what God has done and how that has a wonderful impact not only on our relationship with him, but also on our marriage relationships.